Hello and welcome to the very first episode of the Pixel Parents podcast. I'm your host, Liam Kirkkelvin, and I'm joined today with my co-host, Scott Curry. How are you, Scott?
I am not bad. Technical issues aside, getting here was a real slog, but we're here and we're ready to get going.
Excellent. Yeah, it's been a long time coming. So, like I mentioned, this is the very first episode of the podcast, and I suppose the first question to ask is really what's all about. So really, this podcast, we've just thought to ourselves, we want to basically just have a chat from the perspective of parents around gaming, juggling all the usual old dad pish, and just talk about the hobby that we love. You know, what's it really like to be a gamer and a parent in that space? And really, we're just going to try to talk about games as we enjoy them through that lens.
Because we are parents and also play video games at the same time. So
that's a very good point, actually. Maybe you should tell us about your parent experience so far.
My offspring.
Yes.
I am father to a four-year-old girl, and it is hilarious. Best thing on earth, but it is also, it's a challenge trying to juggle the aspects of yourself when you want to go and play Street Fighter and stuff, but you've also got a daughter who doesn't care for fighting games or anything of that matter.
Very true.
But Peppa Pig is good, so that's all that really matters at that.
True, true. And I suppose for myself, I'm the dad of two. I have a 3-going-on-4-year-old son at the time of recording and a 6-year-old daughter. And yeah, everything you said is exactly it. You know, parenthood's such a blessing, but you know, our hobby is gaming, and that's big passion in life, and it keeps us sane. Really does.
Yeah, 100%.
You kind of need it more, like when the wee ones arrive, and you're thinking, I just need some time to unwind and decompress, and just kind of get away from the constant responsible thinking. You know, like, you know, you're in charge of making sure this little person doesn't go awry or worse under your watch, and it's like, yeah, maybe I just want to play some Tekken, you know. But yeah, that's what the podcast is all about. So really, we're just going to kick things off into our first segment, just kind of what you're playing. So yeah, Scott, what have you been playing this week?
So very excited on the lead up to Final Fantasy Rebirth. So I have just been playing through Final Fantasy VII Remake all over again. Decided this time to go for a platinum trophy, which I missed out on in, was it 2020 when that was out? So
yeah, right.
I'm about 15 hours into it, but trying to tackle hours in the middle of the night where you're absolutely knackered after playing Call of Duty with your fine self, getting a wee hour and then waking up in the morning to make breakfast is it's a good laugh, but it's good. I think I've forgotten a lot about it, but
when was the last time you played it? Was it back when it came out?
Back when it came out, yeah. I never played the Intergrade update on it. So obviously got updated with the DLC for Yuffie, but never played that. So I think the end goal with this is get the Platinum Trophy, play that, and then jump right into Rebirth when it comes out in, what, 6 days' time?
Yeah, time of recording, yeah. Mm-hmm. 6 days' time. I suppose by the time this goes out, it's already there. You've got the Platinum and you're halfway through Rebirth. Living life, I suppose.
Someone is optimistic.
yes, very, very. But that's what we have to do. It's the hope that kills you. And yeah, so what's been the... Have you enjoying it second time round more, or are you, anything you're discovering new about it this time? What's the difference?
It's brilliant. It's, I think, viewing it from my brand new telly that I bought myself, a brand new 50-inch OLED telly that I can see literally pores in the characters' faces. It's beautiful, but it's incredible. Combat's incredible. Story is the story, but it's been good fun playing it and tackling parts of it in such a methodical way, having to go through guides and stuff like that. So it's been pretty good. But it's also nice trying to hide characters from my wife who walks in the door sometimes when you're playing it. As
well,
you know.
Yeah, as I'm learning, I suppose that's my turn, isn't it? Like this week, I've just finished a replay of the Arkham games, which I confess to doing at least every year where I can. kind of became more of a comfort food gamer, I suppose, since the kids have come along. You know, you just want sometimes just that comfort food fix. You go through the Arkham games, you know what you're getting. I was looking forward to Suicide Squad, but, you know, that's kind of turned out to not be as expected. I haven't played it, so I don't really want to say trash fire, but all the talk around it is suggesting that it's not as good as we had hoped.
I'd also like to put a pin in this to say that at some point in the not-so-distant future, Liam will absolutely play Suicide Squad and love it.
Yeah, probably. You're absolutely right. I mean, when that thing's down to like £20, I'm probably going to dive in. But I've been burned by Avengers in the past, so I've learned my lesson this time not to just dive in. But yeah, I've finished that and, you know, finished Night just towards the tail end of the week, and I've just moved on to, for the very first time, Final Fantasy VII Remake, Intergrade, the WWE version, I don't know what it is, but there's a lot of subtext after it, but it's the PS5 version that I'm playing. And I suppose for context for listeners, I'm a man that very infamously does not enjoy Final Fantasy VII at all.
Does like, not like JRPGs.
No.
Full stop.
It's just not my cup of tea. And the reason being is it's not, you know, I don't have, you know, some prejudice against them. It's really just playing Final Fantasy VII many moons ago as a youngster, and it's the first experience I've had of playing a game where I was so bored I had a migraine. I just certainly remember it, and that could have been for a number of things. Could have just been the old tellies, could have been the graphic style, you name it, just didn't click. I mean, first JRPG that ever clicked for me was Pokemon. You know, like many of us, you know, I'm that basic. But anyhow, I've been playing Final Fantasy VII Remake. I'm in the opening hours, so I'm probably about 4 hours or so into it. And I know Scott's eager to hear my thoughts.
He's been withholding all this information from me. So how are you finding it?
So far, I'm pleased to say I'm actually quite enjoying it.
Good.
I have to say. I'm really giving it a college try from the sense that there's no smoke without fire. You know, there also has to be some quality in there. It doesn't get that amount of buzz without it. You've obviously been a big advocate of it. You're a massive, biggest Final Fantasy fan that I know. And it's like, you know, I'll give it a try because there's a bit of a lull before Rise of the Ronin's coming out. You tell me I can get through it fairly quickly. And yeah, I've just been kind of really surprised by, well, A, it looks incredible. I'll give it that from the outset. I mean, The graphics on it is outstanding. I'm probably not the biggest fan of the art style. You know, like, I still think Cloud's hair is ridiculous as it was all those years ago. But however, I think the presentation of it is what's pulling me in. You know, with the cinematics and the voice acting seems to be on point as well. And as well, the gameplay, it's probably more catered to myself. You know, like, turn-based games, I very rarely get on board with. You know, it can probably quite shock in terms of, like, there's a lot of major turn-based games. I'm like, I'm not really into it. But then there's ones that will come about and it's like, yeah, it's fair enough. You know, I think with Baldur's Gate 3...
I think you'll find that you slowly have been creeping into the turn-based kind of gaming sphere in the last few years. Things like Octopath Traveler and stuff like that as well.
That was a big shock.
So you've definitely started to get a dip in a toe in. I think with Final Fantasy, I think that you would not have bothered at all with Final Fantasy VII because of the way that it looks and everything that you know about it previously. But you've now changed your mind on it because of Final Fantasy XVI.
Good point. Yeah, I suppose that was a big turning point as well because that pulled me in. It was the medieval Game of Thrones style. You know, I'm a sucker for that type of fantasy action stuff, and I thought, let's give it a go. And I remember being curious about it, Final Fantasy curious, and it was just like, okay, that's not turn-based. And then you confirm for me it's not that, give it a go, it's very much action orientated. And it was, and it was great. I think the only reason actually I didn't finish 16, there was something that came out last year that had derailed it. I want to say Spider-Man potentially. I'm not sure.
It might have been.
I mean, to the listeners out there, I know that there's a few months between those releases, but for us, it can take that amount of time to get through stuff. Unless you're Spider-Man 2 and you can fart through that in a week. But it's definitely been an interesting change, and I don't know if it's got something to do with the fact that since the Wii ones have came about, I've definitely found a lot more love in playing games on like the Switch. But obviously, we've both got the PlayStation Portal,
yeah.
So that's been a real godsend in terms of playing the more meaty games you want mm-hmm. them to go. But the fact that with turn-based, you can literally just pick it up and put it down, yeah. as opposed to action-orientated games, you know, you can't really.
I think with the Portal and stuff as well, that I wouldn't have finished Baldur's Gate ever without the Portal.
Yeah.
Slide trips to the toilet, I do. I'm not even going to hide it. The obviously, throne. Taking it to the throne. Sneaking wee sessions in my lunch break, but also just if there's any downtime where you can, I want to sit with my wife and stuff like that. I don't want to spend time away from her. So if she's wanting to watch location on the telly, then I can at least sit and play that. So it's been good for that.
Yeah, I mean, actually, that's probably a good point. Actually, I mean, sticking with the Portal in particular, I remember when that was released, there was a big question about who is this for, you know, and we were talking about it at the time, and I didn't really see it represented as much as what I thought it would be, because I felt it was obvious just because it's our day-to-day life, but yeah. It feels like it's made for like gamers who are parents, effectively, yeah. You know, like maybe, like you say, the big telly is being used by your other half, the kids, it could be anybody, but you at least can sit there and just get those wee micro sessions in.
Yeah. You also have to explain what the big telly means.
The big telly, yes. For those who probably aren't familiar with the scheme lingo, a big telly is just the main TV that you have in the living room, and that's where everybody usually congregates and or is sitting having repeat viewings of Moana or Encanto on it all day, every day, mm-hmm. you know. It's definitely been a massive boon for that. The only thing criticism I have is the battery life is absolute dog meat on it.
Mm-hmm. I also find it difficult. It was good for Baldur's Gate because it wasn't quite so intricate, but if I'm trying to play Final Fantasy on it and I'm having to use it, thinking of thumbsticks and stuff like that, it's quite tough for that.
Yeah, yeah. If that's a good point, actually. They're quite flimsy.
They're small. I don't know what it is. They feel smaller, but I mean, it's means to an end, innit? So it's good for that.
That's it exactly. Definitely internet connection dependent, I would say, you know.
Yeah.
Unless you've got something that's over 50 meg or something, you're probably going to have to really do your research and maybe prepare a return on Amazon.
Yes.
You know. But yeah, it's definitely been a godsend. But coming back to the main point about Final Fantasy Remake, and I will update you as I go along, because I'm determined to at least finish this. Just so that I can give it the good old college try. The thing frustrates the life out of me when people try stuff for like 2 minutes and put it down.
Yeah.
And then they can be quite absolute in the judgment.
I feel like I did that with Assassin's Creed.
What one?
Odyssey.
Oh, man.
Even Origins, I couldn't be bothered. It's not for me.
Oh, you're just chopped off two of the biggest, best games that I've played since becoming a dad, actually.
Yeah. I remember you playing Origins.
It was about 2017. I remember playing that when the Wii One was born. Yeah. I needed that game at the time.
Mm-hmm. I remember you playing it. So I remember there was a long period of time where, obviously me and you, we always, since Black Ops 2, we've always found time to jump on Call of Duty because it's just mindless.
Mm-hmm.
You can jump in, you don't have to think about it until you get absolutely raging. But I remember massive, massive lulls and periods of time where we could actually play something together.
Yeah.
But you could always see you chipping away, getting more trophies in Origins. And I think you're probably the only person in history to actually platinum that game.
Yeah, that's my whole shame. I've platinumed Origins, Odyssey and Valhalla.
It's disgusting.
And again, it comes back to that comfort food angle. You know, it's so important, I think, when you've got the wee ones.
Mm-hmm. I think it's probably going to be part of the next segment anyway, but I can definitely see, and I think we've spoken about it, how the way that we play games has changed. It's not a sort of, what do you call it, like a commodity.
Yeah.
It's not something that's just kind of throw away. We actually have to start getting value out of the games that we play, especially now. If you're going to lump £60, £70 on a game, when you could be paying that in electricity bills just to run the thing, then, you know, you really have to get value for money out of it. So I definitely do stuff like that, but I just want to bring it up because if I don't bring it up now, I'll never bring it up. But prior to Final Fantasy VII Remake, The Return, I'd been playing through Alan Wake 2, and we have to convince Liam to play Alan Wake 2. But my God, what a game. It has changed everything for me. It's so good.
What was the... You had a very, very good way to sum up that experience in a nutshell, and it involves a particularly popular video game creator.
My favourite video game creator. Mm-hmm. It comes across like a game like Hideo Kojima wants to make, but doesn't have he doesn't have the sort of rein. He can't rein himself in enough to make it. He has to create these outlandish video games where you carry around babies and watch Troy Baker play electric guitar. You know, I thought that was only for Devil May Cry 4, but Alan Wake 2, it's so grounded in this detective horror story, but then it just throws these moments at you that are just incredible. And like, oh, it's fantastic. I honestly couldn't praise Sam Lake and Remedy enough. It's phenomenal work. I think I would say it's essential if you're playing something on current gen, whatever it is, PC, you have to play it. You have to do it.
I really am interested in playing it. Obviously, the praise, again, it comes back to that original point, Smoke Without Fire. The praise has just been so illuminating on it. But I am a massive shitebag. I do not play horror games at all. And that's the one thing that's holding me back, because I remember seeing the previews, watching videos and stuff. And it was probably around the time last summer, and when the previews were coming out, and it was on nobody's radar. And then all of a sudden, you know, the press had managed to get hands on it, and in a few of the podcasts I listened to, like, this is one to watch. This game is something special. But I remember looking at the footage and I'm like, no, like, I am out. That is going to absolutely make me crap myself in the middle of the night when I'm trying to get in a wee hour session. But you tell me it's not as bad as what I'm feeling.
It's nowhere near as bad as what you think it's going to be. There's jump scares, but it's not a scary game. I mean, I'm obviously more tolerant of these things, but brave. It's class. It's so good. It's got that quintessential original Alan Wake gameplay, but it just takes everything up to it. It just takes everything up to a different level. It's so good. Story, the characters, the setting, you know, you talk about, you know, Twin Peaks and everything like that. It's got all that rolled up into this fantastic package, and it ends in such a way that you're satisfied. Mm-hmm. Don't come away from it like, I wish they'd done this or I wish they'd done that. It makes sense in the way that it's going, and I'm interested to see where it goes. If it's Alan Wake 3, if it's Control 2, if it's something else in that expanded universe that they've got now, it's going to be interesting to find out.
So that's the interesting thing about Alan Wake 2. You know, that isn't a kid-friendly game. That's something that you definitely have to wait to the wee hours as well, isn't it, to play, which is another factor you kind of have to pull into it, because, like you said, unless you're making a visit to the throne, you don't want four-year-olds seeing that type of stuff that's on there. And I'm sure it's you know, not that bad. I mean, Christ, I remember growing up, my mum playing RoboCop for me and watching that as an adult thinking, what did you do? I was hitting the book. But yeah, it's just another factor. Again, to come back to what you said, it's like, you know, it's a lot more considered, you know, thinking about how you're going to play games and when as well.
So yeah, that leads us to the main section of this episode, where we talk a bit more about how our own gaming habits have changed since having our children.
Yeah, it does. It does, doesn't it? I mean, it's one of the best, most transformative things you can do in your life, isn't it? you know, it's up there with moving in with your partner and stuff like that in terms of how it's going to impact your life. For me, you're going back to 2017, as I'd mentioned beforehand. Found that my daughter was going to be born, and it really was, I felt myself go into a gorge mode before. Mm-hmm. She was born in December, and I remember that October, Assassin's Creed Origins, Wolfenstein 2, and Super Mario Odyssey all came out the same day, and I bought them all. I just thought, bugger it, saved up my pennies, bought them all in the one day. I remember tweeting about it at the time, and a couple of like, well, that's a lot in one day, and it's like, you have no idea, my friend, because I am going to get through this. And I remember I didn't actually finish Mario Odyssey before the wee one was born, and then Origins dabbled in Wolfenstein 2, and I remember Wolfenstein 2 distinctly because that was the first game I remember playing. In those early days, you know, it's when you're new to, when you're a new parent, nothing prepares you for it.
Nah.
Like, you think, I can't be fine, I'm up to 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock every night anyway, gaming. It's not that. As you know, we've both been through it. It's the, you know, the night feeds, it's the night changes, it's the early mornings, it's just the constant supporting your partner who needs you. They've just went through this, you know, incredible experience, but one that definitely does take from them in any some shape or form. They're exhausted. You've got to put all that first. But, and then you're thinking, right, well, you know, they sleep all day. That's not necessarily true. You know what I mean? She was, well, both of them, but when she was born, she slept as much as any normal baby, you know. I remember the colic days and that as well, but it was nothing that was really extreme. We were lucky. She was a really good baby. And I remember thinking, I can just game, this is brilliant, because they'll both go to bed sham on. But wasn't the case, because all you want to do is sleep,
mm-hmm.
or eat, and you know, maybe you get into it. So I remember it wasn't until, I think it was about 6 weeks into being a dad, and I thought, I'm going to go back into the world of gaming, because I missed it. Mm-hmm. You know, I really did. I remember trying the odd time, like I had her on my shoulder, she's sleeping, and I tried to play Origins, it just didn't happen. I didn't feel right doing that. Even though my partner she wasn't bothered, you know, she was like, knock yourself out.
Mm-hmm.
But it was more like my choice. And then the first game I remember actually sitting down and playing was Wolfenstein 2. And that was great, because like any first person shooter campaign, it's broke up into chapters. So I'm like, each night, like, I'm going to try and get through the chapter. So you're talking, what, 45 minutes plus?
Yeah.
And that's a hard ass game as well, by the way. Not one that probably I should have started with.
Still haven't played it.
Very good, very frustrating,
mm-hmm.
very good game. But yeah, I remember finishing that, and then that just got me back into the swing of it. Just getting used to this new cadence of gaming.
Yeah.
Like you said very well, it wasn't just like a commodity anymore. That was the point you made, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It's not just a commodity, but it's actually something that you need to be smart and strategic almost with your time. And you know, you want to be the best parent and partner possible, not the best gamer.
Yeah.
So that's really the big change on the habits. And then I think what that's bled into is, again, coming back to your point about value. So I think Assassin's Creed Origins was the one, and that was one of the first games I remember getting a platinum on, because I thought, but I'm here, I'm not going to change between everything. So what I want to be able to do is just get the absolute maximum out of this game. And that's a big-ass game. It's pretty much all of Egypt. And it was something I'd never done before. Usually I would just mainline, you know what I was like? But especially back from like reviewing games, I would just mainline it.
Yeah.
Dabble inside activities and move on.
You're listening to the only person that's probably ever completed Army of Two.
Jesus God. That was so bad. That and the Family Guy game. Oh, good God. But I mean, yeah, great opportunities at the time you do that, because it wasn't all bad. But I remember like trying to maximise the value doing that, and then that really changed the habit, which is, if I'm getting a game, I'm, instead of going through the buffet style, I'm wanting the big meals. And I'll sit with that, and it'll take me about 6 months, you know, quickly. It can take me longer, but it takes me 6 months to platinum a game, start to finish. But yeah, I think that's definitely been one of the biggest changes for me in terms of that. And then I think by the time my second one was born, these habits had been bedded in. And it was really just a case of, right, I know what to do now. And, you know, we both had kids during the pandemic.
Yeah.
Which is mental to think about, you know, just a couple of months apart. And that really did have a massive, I kind of looked at gaming as such a shelter, you know, but for me, I had my eldest at the time. And instead of getting all that gaming time back during the pandemic, it was like my habits had adapted to be like, right, I have to go take her for a nap and I'll just go with her. I mean, it's okay, I've since changed jobs. I should have been working at the time, but I was going for cheeky 2-hour naps in the afternoon with her. And then, you know, and then Animal Crossing came out.
Yes.
And my island was called Lunch, because that's how my daughter pronounced lunch at the time. So it was something that we just sat and that every day routinely just sitting for an hour during the afternoon, just getting through all your chores together, sitting side by side. And it was great. It was good memories. You know, it's those early days do shape you. I mean, what was your experience like in those early days?
I think that you had prepared me in a way, obviously 3 years between kind of your first and my own first. So I think you had obviously set it up, but you're always a bit like, fuck off. of course it's not going to be that way. But I think I kind of got myself into the habit of trying to get value out of games because you had mentioned it in the first. So my little one was born in the middle of January. And the month before she was born, Death Stranding came out.
Oh.
And I remember getting the platinum trophy on that, and I played that to death. I was playing that every single hour, and I've got the platinum trophy for the PS4 version, and that popped on Christmas Eve, 2019, and my wife was ready to explode. Like she was ready to drop straight away. So in the weeks kind of coming up to that, I think I'd settled on the fact that that was the last game that I was going to play for a while. Maybe get sporadic sessions in there, but nothing prepares you for it. Nothing prepares you for the tiredness that you're going to feel. The fact that you're literally just, you're walking dead, but you wake up every morning or three times in the middle of the night, and yeah, you get to see this wee face at the side of the bed, and you're knackered, but it's the best thing on earth. I survived solely on chocolate digestives, and I was watching The Sopranos. I say this every single time, so I remember watching the Pine Barrens episode at 4 a.m. one night, and I ate a full packet of digestive biscuits. And it's disgusting to even think that that's the case, but then I went back upstairs, went back to bed, and it was class. That and the TV show Monk. Remember Monk?
Oh yeah, I've not heard for that years.
Aye, so it was on Amazon Prime, and I remember sitting watching Monk. But I can remember, now that you've mentioned that, Animal Crossing played a big part in those early months, because yeah, I went back to work shortly after the little one was born. Obviously, they're at home every single day because of the pandemic. So what we would do is we'd have our breakfast, we'd maybe go for a wee walk or a wee play, and then I'd go to my work at 9. And in that time between me working and maybe starting work, receiving a call or kind of speaking to colleagues and things, I would usually squeeze in a bit of time on the island in Animal Crossing every single day, get all my things, catch my fish, and then and then bugger off. And I think that it kind of keeps you in the water there. You know, you don't lose yourself too much. But you become a different version of yourself at that point in time, that you're no longer husband, partner, you're now father. And you have to grow up with that. I think that expecting the same level of, you know, the same level of interactivity with games is mental, and you do still see it from some people. You know, you see people online still posting as if they're playing games all day. And I think, as you said, having a little one sat on you when you're playing games, I remember doing it once, and it just it just never sat right with me. You don't feel like you're in it. You want to experience every wee moment with them, even if they're asleep. You can just enjoy them, or you can also, you know, sneak sly naps in there if you can get them down and they stay asleep. But yeah. I think the point where it starts to sort of eke out and sort of mellow out was around kind of 4 or 5 months, where, you know, she's sleeping pretty regularly. She's getting good naps in, and me and my wife have started to get into the groove of being a parent.
Yeah.
Those first few weeks, you're no much a parent. You're given this child and told to go with it. And dealing with obviously the recovery of having a baby and stuff like that as well.
Yeah.
As the dad, you're kind of put in that position where you are having to try to carry more in that way than you would probably think you have to.
Yeah.
But you're obviously kind of helping kind of partners recover, helping my wife recover from, you know, such a major event on her body. And you know, going through all the emotions together. In 4 or 5 months, he's going to cough.
No, I'm not going to cough. I'll just say I should also add to save yourself as well. It's in the point of you're taking on more. I think the key words is than you thought you should. It's not that you're taking on more than the mother.
Yeah. No, I think that's what I'm trying to get at. It's such a ridiculous period of time.
Yeah.
But you get through it because you have to get through it, and every day is magic. But if you're coming at it from the lens of, you know, playing video games and stuff, it is, as I say, 4 or 5 months, and it was Neo 2, and I was playing that any moment I could play it. If I had a lunch break and, you know, they weren't in the house, I was playing it. If I had any downtime, I would play it, and I'd maybe try and sneak an hour in, nowhere near the level of what I'm playing now.
Just try and
sneak an hour in and then go to sleep, try and force myself down, because it was the only thing I could do. And Neo 2 isn't an easy game.
No, I was going to say, of all the games to platinum, you've picked probably one of the hardest ones out there.
Yeah, it was difficulty in the game alone, but also just the time that it takes.
Yeah.
I dread to look at it and tell you how long that I played that game for. And it's a game that I would love to go back and play again, but nah, there's too many things now that I want to play. But that's definitely where I was at that point in time. And then, you know, it does gradually just get that wee bit easier. And you know, you do find the time at night where, you know, you've had your dinner, you've kind of finished work, got dinner made, and then kind of spent some time together as a family, get a bit of alone time with the wife and stuff, watch a couple of TV shows, and then you're no longer absolutely rooked by the end of the day, unless you've fallen asleep in some heap on the couch. But you've maybe got a few hours where you could go and, you know, tack away at a Final Fantasy VII, or jump on a few rounds of Call of Duty, or, you know, win all the divisions in FIFA. Not even FIFA anymore, EAFC.
That's true.
You know, Rafa Leao is the absolute GOAT. And I won't hear anything else.
Won't hear a bad word against him.
No way. And Ruben Loftus-Cheek as well. Wherever you are, mate. Wherever you are. But yeah, you know, it gets easier. And that's if you're expecting, if you're going through early days as a parent, you know, because podcasts, listening to podcasts when you are feeding, or if there's moments in the day where, you know, you have got a bit of time with yourself and you're listening to something, if you're someone listening to this, then it does get easier.
Yeah. Yeah. Very, very well said. You know, I think I echo that that sentiment exactly. I think, you know, when you think about I think that's what led us to start up this podcast, really. It's like you're just kind of wanting to hear from a bit more voices out there that are in the same situation as you. And for all of our podcast cones are narrow, because we all have personalities that we attach to.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, hopefully people out there attach to ourselves, because they're thinking, hey, I'm in the exact position those guys are talking about. I mean, for me, I've seen a few more gaming media personalities. There's plenty of them out there with kids,
mm-hmm.
but there's very little out there in terms of what is the experience like when mm-hmm. you've got the Sprogs running about. And we'll dig into that probably in more detail in future episodes as well, you know, getting into the minutiae of it. I mean, for me, probably the mainstream one I can remember think of just now is Greg Miller.
Yeah.
Because he's also got the the widest following, you know, probably one of the most well-known guys out there. And I think you're starting to see that bleed into the content more, which is great to see, you know, and doing it in the right way. But that's a different thing entirely, because that's kind of from a personality standpoint, as opposed to the day-to-day. I would kind of say, without sounding insulting, the real life aspect of it, because, you know, we don't run, you know, big popular companies, etc.
No, we don't.
You know, you're not getting sent all this stuff, etc. For
mm-hmm.
you know, it's very different. I mean, and again, probably tap into that in future episodes. Yeah. The cost of things as well when you become a parent.
Mm-hmm.
I won't get into that now. Let's not give away the goods.
No, we won't show our hand too early. On the topic of Greg Miller, I've never forgiven him. Never forgiven him for the week or the 10 days before Metal Gear Solid 5 came out, and he released everything to do with that game. He was writing about that game 10 days or 7 days before it came out, and I couldn't do it. Can't take him anymore. I can't have it.
That's the line crossed. I mean, I think you talk about two Kojima heavyweights here, Scott Curry and Greg Miller. Greg, if you ever listen to this, you know, nothing but love. But yeah, you've done them wrong there. You've done them wrong there. But yeah, I suppose come back to the main topic. Really, in terms of like, so with the early days, your habits obviously change for the right reasons. How does that kind of look now? You know, how what's the long tail effect of those habits now? Like, because do you find that they've developed as the wee ones get older as well? Does it continually change? What's your view on that?
I think it's a good point. I think it does continually change. You'll obviously have a different experience for having two children, you know.
It's the same thing.
It's the same sort of thing, but obviously it's you'll have got yourself into a groove and then it changed again. But with our little one, you know, it's for the first year you're no longer able to live the life that you were when you were 16, 17, 18, you know, playing Black Ops 2 for 14 hours a day.
The days.
But you don't want that at all either. Like, no. You know, as much as this podcast is about us as parents playing video games, like, I love playing games. I do. But if that's at the expense of spending an extra hour, half an hour, 15 minutes with a little one, you know,
yeah,
I would rather do that at the end of the day. So, you know, I think it's just being responsible for that. But, you know, you do need that downtime. Like, we need it. You know, yeah. Like, you're working full time. Like, I think when you talk about kind of media personalities and stuff, that this is their job. They get paid to play video games, and, you know, they can talk about them and they've got families and stuff. But having a full-time job, juggling, you know, family's life as well, it's a juggling act. That's basically what it is. But it's tough. It is tough. And there are days where, you know, you might not jump on early. You might get on late at night. But even that half hour that you might be able to go on and play, you know,
whatever's in front of you.
Yeah. Like anything there. Or even just something simple as scrolling through the PlayStation store page, looking at what's on sale, you know. There's something about that's really cathartic. I really enjoy it.
Yeah.
And I also like to see Dragon Ball Z Kakarot on sale every single time that I'm there.
That and the Dragon Ball FighterZ.
Dragon Ball FighterZ,
FighterZ, right. Whatever it is. It's, perennially on sale items. So, you mentioned how that's your habits have changed. So, is there any other habits at all that have changed along with it? You know, because it's been 4 years, a long time,
mm-hmm.
more than 4 years. So, what else has changed in terms of your gaming habits then?
I'd say that, you know, I am a staunch console gamer. You know, I've never owned anything like a PC. I think I had a PC once, and the only game I ever had on it was Hitman, and it was a bloody nightmare to play on keyboard. But I think that since, you know, it's been open to trying new things, it's definitely Nintendo Switch. You know, I wasn't, I'm guilty of, you know, buying games and you know, I don't really enjoy playing them on Switch because you don't have that gratification of trophies and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that it really, really lacks that, and I would probably get more out of it if it did. But definitely, when she was born, it was something that, you know, you could jump on Animal Crossing and stuff like that. I can't even remember what I was playing around that time. I think I always go back to Final Fantasy XII, play it to a certain point and then give up on it. But definitely with that.
I remember. Triangle Strategy.
Triangle Strategy. Oh, what a game. What a game. I need to go back and play it. But even with that, though, I think I also then dipped my toe because I was really getting into following, like, you know, I got back into, like, although I couldn't play games, I was watching people play games.
Uh-huh.
A lot of sort of live streaming and stuff like that. And I started following, you know, YouTube and people on Twitch who were playing Football Manager. And I remember just falling hard into that. And there was a version of it on the Xbox that I was playing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you might only get 10, 15 minutes, but you could fart through 3 or 4 games on that
mm-hmm.
if you're just skipping through them, you know. So it was good for that. And it's definitely, I'd say that it's definitely opened my eyes to different ways to, and this is the buzzword in the gaming hemisphere.
Okay.
To play.
Oh, yes, yes.
I'm Phil Spencer now.
Big Phil, yeah. Big Phil, yes. I think that's all those points, man. Like, I think I totally hear you. I think you're absolutely spot on with all of them. You mentioned earlier it's about juggling, isn't it?
Yeah.
And, you know, for some out there in the media space just now, in gaming, I suppose they're juggling in a big tent.
Yeah.
You know, we're probably more busking at the sides. That's all it is. I mean, they've got their own stuff to juggle through and all that, which is fair enough. I think for us, just like as a, you know, as a everyday person, it's totally different. Your priorities are different. Like, we do not live for online engagement. Like,
yeah.
Our engagement largely will come through, you know, what we do at work,
yeah,
what we do at home, that type of stuff. And I suppose they have that as well, don't they? It's just very different. But I think it's all the more important because it's really difficult to connect with someone that really just doesn't have the same experience, you know, in terms of parenting and stuff. That's obviously going to be universal. But gaming habits, it's like, you know, if your job is covering that, you know, it's going to be very different from the jobs that we do every day, you know, and it's like you're longing to get back to stuff. And don't get me wrong, I'm grateful for that because, you know, if I harken back to, as you know, how many years ago was it now? Well over a decade now, like doing games news coverage, gaming reviews, and it's like it can suck the joy out of it for you,
yeah.
You know, because I would hate to think that, you know, if you're giving me a slice of chocolate cake every day, right, first I'm thinking this is magic, but eventually I'm going to get sick of that cake and I'm not going to ask for it. Whereas now it's like the time that you've got just to decompress, and now we're in a different mindset. Now that I'm older, I'm thinking about passing it on. And mm-hmm. particularly my son has shown an interest in gaming already at this young age. My daughter as well, but she's more infatuated with the characters and the yeah. magic around it, which yeah. is great. But it's, I think with my son, he's definitely going to follow in his old man's footsteps. I can see it. You know, I've already had him playing a couple of platformers, etc. And he's taken to it. It's frustrating as all hell to watch, though, man.
Worst.
He can't
it
control it for Toffee, but he'll get there. He'll get there. But that leads me on to the next segment. What we're going to be featuring every week, effectively, that the podcast is up, and this is our Pixel Picks Showdown. Really, what this is all about is that we're looking to collate a list of the ultimate games list that you must replay, something you could pass on to your little ones, to other ones, etc. Just the next generation. What are the quintessential games they have to play? And to kick things off, we're going to be adding a game in the platformer genre. And it's simple how this list works. I'm going to pick one. Scott, you're going to pick one. And we're going to make a case for it and be grown-ups about it and then just try and agree, basically, who's made the best case here and what one beats it out, and that goes on the list. And then as the weeks go on, we're going to have quite a big chunky list at the end of it. So yeah, this week one, all about platformers. Now, I am waiting in suspense. I've been dying to hear. What is your pick?
Right, so this comes from experience. I've given it to nephews. I've let nieces play it, and it's worked, and they love it. Right? Shovel Knight.
Okay, right, Shovel Knight. Right,
it is. It has worked, and it still works. They love it. It's so good. Even the treasure trove collection with all the other characters in it as well. You know, it's such a basic ass game, but it's so full of heart. The music's amazing, and you know, as they get older, they'll start to appreciate those different things as well. Yeah. You know, when I was their age, you let me listen to Guile's theme in Street Fighter 2, and I couldn't have cared less.
Yeah.
But now, you know, I'm going hard for it. But 100% Shovel Knight 2. It looks like a game that you could pass down to them. You know, it's not too difficult.
Yeah.
There's a lot of sort of hand holding on the way, and it tends to be cheap as well. If you're going to, you know, if you've got a niece or nephew that, you know, has particularly tight parents who doesn't want to buy them games that very often, then, you know, they'd be quite happy to play that. But I think I got it on PlayStation Plus back in the day, and I downloaded it on a shared PlayStation, and they were never off it.
Yeah.
Never off it. You could go down sort of traditional routes, but I thought stick with something a bit weird, and Shovel Knight is definitely the one that I'm going for.
Okay. That was a good opening salvo. We're gonna get back to it, of course, once we hear mine. But you know, I thought where's that low hanging fruit, Liam? Where do you really want to go? And I to and fro done this one because I really thought platformer, my first thought was to go down the 2D route. But I thought I'm going to be sly and pick what does a kid with modern control sensibilities look for? And you're going to kill me because it's a hard one to fight against, I think, but it's Super Mario Odyssey.
Aye.
You know, it's mentioned it before previously in the show, but I think I was originally thinking Galaxy, and then I thought I recently replayed that in All-Stars and it's just not the same. Like the Wii novelty has gone.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Super Mario Odyssey is a complete masterpiece in terms of platforming, and in terms of all ages can enjoy that. That's probably something that I'll give to my son to play maybe in a few years' time when he can handle ergonomics in a less frustrating manner. But in terms of, you know, it has everything. The gameplay, the innovation within the gameplay, the narrative, okay, it's probably not going to win any awards for best narrative, but at least it's funny. It's tongue-in-cheek. It takes itself not too seriously at all. It moves those characters on a little bit, but that's not why we're there. But it has magic. Yeah. It has absolute magic oozing out of it. You know, the mechanics that you have with Cappy, the different abilities that you get, that section in New Donk City alone, you know, that's probably one of the most magical moments in gaming I think I've ever experienced, to be honest. And the music, oh my god, I could just go back to it time and time again. And this Nintendo pull out the big guns when it comes to those like original IPs that they have.
You know, yeah. It's
all the way back to, I remember, Mario Kart 8.
Mm-hmm.
And you open it up and it's all of a sudden this absolute hyper fusion funk blast. It's slapping you across the face.
I think you must link me to a video about that pretty much every single week.
I think I do. Yeah. I still can't get over it, man.
So good.
It's so, so good. It has no right. And yeah, but coming back to Super Mario Odyssey, I'm thinking that has generational value. And I, you know, for me, there are other Mario games in there equally as good, some would say better. You know, I'm thinking like New Super Mario Brothers is probably really good for modern kids, I suppose. I'd probably say Super Mario Brothers 3. Really, I'd probably go back to the original one, to be honest, because that's probably...
I
do enjoy that, but I am a couple of years older than yourself.
I think if we're debating Mario, it's Super Mario World for me.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's got Yoshi and everything on it as well, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, And that's coming back to that. I really did think, why don't I just do Super Mario Brothers Wonder? Because that is a game that I have actually been playing with my son because of the easy mode that it has with Yoshi. You can't die.
Yeah.
So he can just sit, as long as it's not a hole, right? He falls down the hole, you're dead. So I thought maybe they put up your trampoline or something. If you're listening to Nintendo, you know what to do. But really, I think if it's an all-timer list, my pick has to be Super Mario Odyssey. Now, I then move into the more adult debate, you know, why should one win over t'other? You know, and we're obviously going to argue our own positions. But I think I'm going to, I think you've also picked a very influential and very, very, you know, generational game as well in Shovel Knight. It's going to be a tough one, Scott. there's nothing here that we can do to decide other than just agree, but we can't agree to disagree. But I think that, personally, I think, you know, Super Mario Odyssey deserves to be on that list ahead of Shovel Knight just because of the mass appeal. I think you could put that in front of anybody, like grandparents, niece, nephew, old da, you name it, and they'll get it a little bit more than Shovel Knight, which I do wonder, does Shovel Knight appeal to old farts like us because we were there back then? You mentioned your nephews loved it.
I think so, but I also think that I think with Mario Odyssey that, you know, I'm not going to start trying to argue against Mario Odyssey because it's brilliant. It is. It's absolutely brilliant. And, you know, it is one of, if not the best Mario game. Like, to come out on the Switch the way that it did and just give you everything all in one, you know. Yeah. And you could go back, you could stop playing that, go back to it in 2 years, and you'd pick it back up as if nothing had ever changed. You know, you would never, ever, ever forget how to play. It's like driving a car, you know, you could do it. But it's also, you know, it's Mario. You know, it's not, it's the same old, you know. I'm not saying that it's not great. Plus, you also have Bowser in an absolutely fantastic suit and hat, so it's hard to argue against it. But there's moments in Shovel Knight that even now I can still remember playing it.
Mm-hmm.
And the DLC is fantastic. There's such a variation in gameplay that if I had to argue anything against Mario Odyssey, it's platforming at its best. But yeah, there's also parts of it where it's just like, you know, there's worlds in it where you're just like, fuck, geez, peace. Like, it's just a pain. So,
yeah.
You know, it's not, it's all bells and whistles, but some of those whistles are maybe a wee bit annoying.
Yeah.
But with Shovel Knight, you know, I've had a lot of fun playing it, and it's one of those games where it still sits perpetually downloaded on my PlayStation because of that.
Yeah.
And it is, you've got different characters, they all play differently. They've got their own stories, you know, so you've got a lot in there to kind of make your way through. But who can argue against Super Mario Odyssey, you know?
I think I've definitely applied a cheat code here for week one.
Yeah.
You know, this is going to be my tactic. I'm going to go for that low-hanging fruit, you know? So, you know, expect, I don't know, The Last of Us or something like that to come out, or The Legend of Zelda. I probably actually wouldn't add, you know, it depends. I suppose the purpose of this list effectively is that it's not just to be recommended to little kids. It's for, you know, generation of all ages. You mentioned your nephews, and it's like, I've got nieces and nephews that are into their mid-teens now as well. And to be honest with you, the biggest argument I could make for Shovel Knight is from that purist perspective of platforming.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, if you are really wanting to kind of show the next generation as to what a platformer entails. Well, 3D platformers are definitely platformers in their own right.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something just a little bit more hardcore, a little bit more skill-based in a 2D platformer that would definitely win at points.
Yeah.
You know, to be on there. I'm just thinking, you know, is this one of those ones that's just cut and run Super Mario Odyssey?
I think the minute you said Super Mario Odyssey, it was cut and dry.
Game over.
You've completely ruined it. I'm actually just going to leave. I actually just wanted to check something because I can't remember if it actually happened or not, but Luigi is in Super Mario Odyssey. It was a DLC or something, wasn't it? It was in an add-on.
I think he was. I'm going to have to check that. I'm not sure because I'm not sure if it was. We're getting confused with the new Super Mario Brothers U and the Wii U.
I'm sure there was a Luigi thing in.
Was it not like a balloon mode or something like that?
I think it was.
I think so. I didn't play it. Whatever it was, I've been exposed.
That's the big failure in Mario games for me recently. Hmm. I love Mario. I do, right? I do. But you know, the Mario Brothers movie that came out, Luigi is the best part of it.
Everything
that he does is fantastic. I love Super Mario Sunshine. I loved Galaxy. Didn't really play Galaxy 2. I played it for a bit, but never ever played it. I know you, staunch supporter of it, but it's Luigi was always the one for me, even back to Super Mario Brothers 2, because he could jump higher.
Exactly.
Just daft wee things like that. You know, platformers have lived with us. Like those were the main games that we probably played. Well, you probably played because you were born like the 1960s, but
80s.
I remember like you're talking about platformers by themselves, you know, when you asked me today to think of platformer games that you want to do this with, I was thinking, you know, there's so many, but there's so many that you could easily pick, you know, like.
Well, that's a good point. Tell me, so before we go any further, are we agreeing that Super Mario Odyssey is the first name on this list?
It was agreed before we'd even said it.
Okay, right. So there we have it. We have the first name on the list, which is Super Mario Odyssey, which, congratulations, it's the first name on our official Pixel Picks showdown list. So congratulations to that. But I'm intrigued to hear, what was your other, you know, give me two or three games that you considered bringing on today.
Considered? Oh, I don't even know. Once you settle on it, that's what, you'd mentioned Celeste earlier on today. Oh, and
love it.
You know, it is, it's fantastic, but I couldn't have made a case for it because I've not got that experience with it. But then you go back years and years and years, and it always comes back to the same wee red guy. It's always Mario, you know. I couldn't really make a case for anyone else.
The plumber does good work.
He
does good work, you know. I can't deny it. I'll tell you what my honourable mentions were for this one. You mentioned the first one, Celeste,
mm-hmm.
because I think that is such an important game in terms of the challenge, but the positivity to push you.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's needed within gaming. I'd love to see more games like that, and the music as well. It was magic. Second to that was Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yes.
Specifically Sonic 2. Just because I remember just plugging so many hours into that with my cousin William, who's listening. You know, we were there. The streets don't forget. And the third one, the honourable mention for me, was Oddworld, Abe's Odyssey.
Yes.
But the thing that convinced me, aside from it being Mario, is the fact that, well, challenge.
Yeah.
And also Sonic was fun, but I look at that, I try to replay those games now today.
It's a pain in the ass.
It is a pain in the ass, it's just not as fun.
With the Sonic games, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but with Sonic games, you always want to go fast. Like, it's a pure meme at this point, but you always then get to a point where you're going so fast across this screen, and then you hit some mad spring, it knocks you back the way.
Yeah.
It's like the forward momentum was just lost immediately, and it's so unsatisfying. It's like when you're playing any Sonic game, you have like the chemical plant, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, fantastic music, but you've got to like jump over all these daft wee bits, but you just want to roll about with Sonic. You want to go really, really fast, and that's it.
Yeah.
It's it really bugs me. I love Sonic, but I couldn't have put it anywhere near.
There's a listener out there going, sounds like a skill issue.
It does. Adventure Battle was good though.
Yeah.
Love that.
Yeah.
But I would be remiss to let this go ahead without mentioning, because there was one and I had to check.
Okay.
It should have probably been the answer that I gave initially, right? But putting it out there because it's obviously come out now. Donkey Kong.
Oh, yes. I was actually thinking he is going to pick a Donkey Kong game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm surprised you didn't. I was actually surprised by your pick, to be honest. Yeah. I was expecting something else more than Nintendo library. But...
I thought, go be that one, that arsehole that goes a wee bit, no, eclectic in his decision making.
The vinyl record pick.
Aye. Don't pick. Aye, be that bastard that listens to indie music. Do you know what I mean? Like...
Or stops listening to the band when they get big.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I knew the Arctic Monkeys before anyone else.
I was on MySpace. So, yeah, I totally get you. But I mean, yeah, that's the first pick. Next week, well, you just have to listen to find out. We'll have a different genre. We'll have a different category around it. We'll have some fun with it. This list will grow. And I'm sure, Scott, you're going to probably go for the low-hanging fruit strategy that I am adopting.
Never.
We'll see. We'll see. I don't believe him. I think he's going to pick something. He's just going to say Zelda every week in the hopes that he wins.
For every single fighting game Zelda, he's in Soul Calibur. So
that's it.
He's in everything. It. But we'd also like to hear your choices as well.
Yeah, yeah.
If you are listening to this, don't hesitate to give us a shout and let us know what you think. Don't know where that is yet, but it'll be somewhere soon, I'm guessing.
That's it, yeah. You absolutely will be able to engage with us online. You can get us on Twitter, Pixel Parents Podcast. And that's a wrap for this week. That's the first episode done. We've done it. Fantastic. What did you make of it?
I'd just like to formally apologise to Greg Miller. I don't hate him as much as it sounded like, but I was hurt. Hurt by that.
Week one is a feud already, man. God.
Sorry.
Greg, if you're listening, we love you. But yeah, no, thanks again for listening, and we'll be back next week. Like I said, you can catch us on Twitter or any of your podcast platforms of choice. And yeah, that's us. Over and out.
Play Alan Wake 2.